So good to be with you this morning. Appreciate the thoughts that have gone before. I want to pick up where Brother Clayton left off. I had another passage of scripture on my mind on the way over here this morning, just in case I was asked to speak. As soon as Brother Clayton began to speak this morning, this passage came to my mind, and it's remained on my mind the duration of his message. It's found in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. I want to talk to you about being a witness to the grace of God. Isaiah begins this chapter in verse 1. He says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." You know, there's a lot in that initial verse right there, and it just flows through the rest of the passage. God comes in this chapter, and he tells them that, first off, he is their originator. That they are not here by simple chance, that they are not here by some random equation, but they are here for a purpose. That I have created thee. You are a production of my wisdom and my power. And we'd all do well to remember that. That we're not here simply by random chance, but God has created us on purpose for a purpose. You understand? God has a purpose for your life. God does not just do things because he gets some random idea one day and, well, I think I'll just create so-and-so. No, God has created you on purpose and for a glorious purpose. So he reminds the children of Israel of this glorious fact right here. I have created thee and I have formed thee, O Israel. Therefore, fear not. That is a commandment that we are not to give in to a spirit of fear, that we are not to allow the trepidation that often comes on us through the course of life to overtake us. Now, God has given us fear, not as being taken over, but he has given us fear as a way of self-preservation. If I was not afraid of anything, I would probably kill myself. Would you agree with that? God has given us fear to a certain degree to preserve ourselves. We know that we're not going to walk out in the middle of a highway because we know that if we do, we're going to get hurt. And that comes from a kind of fearfulness of that event. And so God has given us fear in a certain degree to preserve our life because we live in a broken world. But what God has not done has given us fear to the degree that it would dominate us and take our eyes off of him. Do you agree with that? But listen to the reason that we are not to fear. He says, fear not, and if you notice there's a colon, and that means that whatever comes after that is going to explain what came before the colon. So the command not to fear, the things that come after this are the reasons we're not. So he says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. God reminds his children that in the middle of whatever life circumstances are abounding in their life, whatever may come against them, whether it be war or whether it be a virus or whatever it is, God has reminded us that we're not to fear because God has already redeemed us. That means he's bought us back from whatever negative circumstances we find ourselves in. He has conquered the greatest enemy that we will ever face, and that is death. Death is a defeated foe. Death is dead. You understand that Christ was crucified on the cross, and 3 days later, he got up as a testimony to us that when we are placed in our graves and as we go there to rest for a while, that our bodies too are going to get back up. Death does not hold the dominion over us. The worst anybody can ever threaten us with is death, and it's been conquered. So what do we have to fear? Nothing. That's right. You have nothing to be afraid of. A fear is simply a smoke screen. That's what it is. It's used as a smoke screen. Because everything that we could ever fear has already been conquered by Christ. I have redeemed thee. Now, when he was talking to Israel, he was talking to a group of individuals, and the context here is their deliverance out of Egypt. You think of all the records of God's deliverance in the life of Israel. God says, I called thee by thy name. He's talking there of Jacob. I called thee by thy name. When I made a covenant with you, when I made my promise, when I bound myself to you, and I called you by thy name. And then I made good on that promise over 400 years later when I brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, when I led you across the Red Sea, when I made the walls appear, and I led you through on dry land, and I consumed your enemies behind you. God was there when he led them across again the Jordan River, and again the waters parted. And they went through on dry land. And what enemy could stand before them? None. David walks out on the battlefield to the greatest enemy that Israel had ever faced up to that point. And from a natural standpoint, there's a 9-foot giant there. And every man is what? Afraid. Every man's afraid, but not David. David says, no. My God delivered me from the mouth of the lion. My God delivered me from the mouth of the bear. And what is this uncircumcised Philistine? David stepped out on that battlefield realizing that the enemy was already gone. And that's what every single one of God's children have ever done that have been victorious in this life. They have mounted the battlefield realizing that the battle is already won. They're just going through the motions. I have called thee by thy name. He knows us personally. Thou art mine. He claims possession over our very existence. When thou passest through the waters, and there will be waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This was a promise realized by 3 Hebrew children. I often wondered if they remembered this verse as they were standing up before that king. That God had already promised them the deliverance that they were seeking. And they acted in faith. They said, you know, we know that he is going to deliver us out of your hand. We know he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, but he will deliver us out of thy hand. How could they speak that? They realized death was dead. They realized there was something far beyond this world of sin and sorrow. Something greater. Death is not a sad reality because of what awaits on the other side. It is our true liberation. He says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He is our Savior. He has already been our Savior. Think back in your life of all the events in your life where God has led you through time and time again. My life, and that's we are witnesses of the grace of God. My life is a long testimony of God's providential dealings in my life. He has delivered me from car wrecks. He's delivered me from famine. He's delivered me from sickness. He has delivered me time and time again. My life is just one long record book of all the things God has done in my life. That's what it is. He is my Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Let's go on down to verse 10. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. So God has chosen us for a particular purpose. He's chosen us to be a witness. And what is a witness? A witness is someone that experiences something and is able to give a testimony of the events they have personally encountered. So God has chosen us to experience His salvation in this life so that we can bear a testimony to tell others of the deliverances God has given us. He's chosen us for that purpose. That's why you're in church this morning. You're in church this morning because God has personally chosen you to understand the gospel. That's what He told the disciples. Speaking of their choosing, now there is an electing grace before the foundation of the world where God chooses us to be a part of His family, but there is also a choosing that He had with the disciples when He chose them to be intimate with Him and to experience things with Him that others did not have the privilege of experiencing. Now the others that didn't experience that were still in God's family, chosen before the foundation of the world, but there is a choice that God makes, and that's what we have this morning. We have been chosen not only to eternal salvation, but as a testimony this morning, since you're here, you've been chosen to experience God's special grace in understanding the truth of His salvation. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. So God had chosen the nation of Israel that they would know the Lord, that they would believe and trust and confide in the Lord and understand that God is the true and living God. That's why He had chosen them. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. And I want you to pay special attention to this morning. And beside me, there is no Savior. There is no salvation outside of God. I'm going to be very bold this morning and make a very bold statement. Unless America wakes up and realizes that it's not the doctors and the president and our congressional leaders that are going to deliver us out of this, until they wake up and realize that outside of God there is no salvation, this will not get better. It won't. How do you know that, Brother John? Because look at Israel. Every time God sent a plague, when they disobeyed, God sent a plague. God never lifted His hand till they turned back to Him. Never. When they went, what did God say? Woe to them that go down to Egypt. Woe to them. Now God can use a multitude of means to deliver His people. Can he use doctors to deliver His people? Yes, He can. Can he use politicians? Yes, He can. Can He use armies? Yes, He can. He can use all those things. But when men are looking to the means instead of to the source, you can expect no salvation. God says, fear not, to those that are trusting him. When you don't trust the Lord, you've got reason to fear. You understand that? Because nothing goes right when you're not trusting the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. Salvation belongs solely in the Lord, whether that be our eternal salvation or our timely salvation. I have declared and have saved, past tense. I've already delivered. I have saved and I have shewed when there was no strange gods among you. Now notice that he shewed these things when they were on the right path. When there was no strange gods among them, when they were looking to the Lord, he had saved them, he had shown these things to them. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? There is none that can deliver out of the hand of the Lord. He says, I will work, and who can stop me? That's a challenge, by the way. You think you can prevent the Lord from doing his business? I said it the other day when I was preaching on a similar topic. I said, you know, I don't know if the Lord has brought this virus on us. He certainly has done that in the past to Israel. He's brought plagues on Israel in the past that were his doing. I said, I don't know if he has in this instance. There seems to be good indications that it's a good possibility because of our wickedness. But I know this, that if he has done it, there is nothing we can do to stop it except for repent. That's it. Repentance is key, but it's become such a dirty word in America today, hasn't it? We like to believe that we are just good old boys. But the world has become encased in wickedness. We need to remember from whence we are fallen and do the first works. To turn around. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ship. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Christ is our King. He has redeemed us. He has done it. When Christ died on the cross, gave his life, and arose victorious, everything necessary in a legal capacity for our salvation was secured. And because of that, there is nothing, Romans 8, which can separate us from the love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He lists a lot of things there. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers. Nothing. Nothing. He's called us by our names. You realize there's been a moment in each and every one of our lives where God has specifically addressed our hearts personally. God spoke directly to you. It's not a general call. It's a very personal call. I call thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Fear not, I am with thee. The waters will not overflow thee. We are the witnesses of grace. Remember God's deliverances. Remember that beside him, there is no salvation. And he is the best Savior, the most able Savior. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.